Hello and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. I'm your host Akhil Arora, and today we're going to talk about all things OnePlus Nord 2 with two amazing guests. I have Aditya Shenoy.
Hello.
And I have Royden Serejo.
Are Akhil. And what's up, everyone?
Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
So we have this new phone, which launched this week, earlier this week on Prime Day, which is, as you can tell from the name, it's a follow-up to the OnePlus Nord, although there's been a weird addition in the middle as well, which Shenoy can tell us about.
Yeah, so between the Nord and the Nord 2, they had a Nord CE. Now, the naming is a bit weird because what does CE stand for? So according to OnePlus, it is Core Edition, and it basically is called Core Edition because they say it provides all the basics that you would want on a smartphone, which means that that's the only Nord that has a 3.5mm headphone jack. It's got like good specifications and stuff. I think it was planned probably to be released a little earlier because the launch was too close to the Nord 2. So it's not like a stopgap, but it's like a more affordable Nord. So that way, Nord CE, that is where the positioning is.
Nord is the more affordable OnePlus. So now we have affordable OnePlus.
Yes, because the normal budget flagship killer OnePlus is flagship prices now.
So. Right. So now, how does the Nord 2 update on Nord and Nord CE?
I would call the Nord 2 the successor to the Nord, the original Nord. So the CE is, I would talk about the CE later, but the Nord 2 is like a successor to the original OnePlus Nord. And I would say that it's a proper successor on all terms. Like, it's got a more powerful processor, it's got better cameras. I think the battery capacity has grown by only a bit. So I think original was 4,110 milliampere, and this is like 4,500. Charging speeds have gone up. So that is good. Cameras are good. Overall UI software is good. Now, I'm not very confident about this Oxygen OS, Color OS mashup that is going on. So there are very, very subtle changes, something that you'll miss if you don't have another OnePlus device on the side, because it looks almost like OnePlus, one Oxygen OS. So, you know, the very subtle changes, but I hope that OnePlus kind of keeps it that way and does not make it full blown Oppo like Color OS. So that is, I think, one of the distinguishing features. But apart from that, I think the Nord 2 is a solid upgrade over the Nord. So something that people can consider.
What about stereo speakers? Have they added that this time? On it's still a single speaker.
No, so stereo speakers is something that you get 90 hertz refresh rate. I think that is pretty common on
that was there on the old one also. And one more thing I wanted to ask is that what about the frame? Is it plastic still, or have they switched to metal?
So the frame is still plastic. So what they've done is
So small compromise.
Yeah. So it's, I think the overall design is, the language is still like the original Nord. So you've got the glass plastic sandwich design. So this is Corning Gorilla Glass 5 at the front and the back, and you've got a plastic mid-frame.
All right, not bad. At least they've added stereo speakers, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, so stereo speakers are, I think, one addition compared to the original Nord. And in terms of charging, like, you obviously get a bigger battery, 4,500 milliampere, and you get a 65-watt warp charger that's bundled
great.
In the box.
Nice.
And it's super fast. So I recollect it going to about, I think, 58% in 15 minutes and 32 minutes my full charge.
And that's something like they're not reserving. Like, I mean, I think I'm glad that they're not doing this. Like, you know, like, oh, you have to upgrade to our more premium OnePlus models to get warp charging. It's good that they're sort of giving it to everyone.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of required for them to do it, because then there's not, like, you're not really delivering a OnePlus-like experience, right? Because people, when you're looking at a phone that's around 30,000 rupees, now people are very demanding at that price point. And it also kind of, I think it makes it easy for the marketing teams to push the smartphone, because, you know, that's a standout feature. You don't really have to explain anything. You just have to say, hey, it charges quickly. And I think people will buy.
Yeah, so I think we were like talking about the phones in this budget just like a few weeks back, I think, probably like, I think last month or something, right? And so what are the phones now then, which is this phone is going up against?
So this phone is first going up against, I think the primary competition would be the Poco F3 GT. And also, If you are looking at the entry level models, the OnePlus Nord CE, like, you know, we were going to talk about that as well. So it competes with these two smartphones. There's also an Oppo Reno 6, which is again in, I think, in the same price range. So
someone
who's looking, and of course, you have got Samsung smartphones as well. I think the Galaxy A52 would be one smartphone that's in that price range. But apart from that, yeah, these are the main competition. Vivo as well. I'm not sure if Vivo's launch. Vivo has a V21, right?
They do have a V21, I think. Yeah.
So I would say the Poco F3 GT would be the primary competitor, because these two phones were launched like a day apart, and it's pretty it kind of looks obvious to me that the pricing of the Poco F3 GT is also kind of it is what it is because of the Nord 2, because even Poco looks at Nord 2 as the primary competitor for the Poco F3.
You could even say the Realme X7 Max, because that also has the same SoC around 26, 27, I think it starts at.
Yeah, so Realme is another. And I would say that the Realme X7 Max also has a lot of stuff in common with the OnePlus Nord 2.
Yeah.
Like the same processor, and UI is also quite similar, I would say. So that way, there's some decent competition there, Akhil.
Right. So in terms of the main rival you sort of mentioned, Poco F3, how does the, at least on paper, how does the hardware compare?
So in terms of, talk about the main processor, both of them are powered by the MediaTek Dimensity 1200 SoC. What OnePlus has done is they've worked with MediaTek to enhance the AI performance of this processor. And they have, and they call it the Dimensity 1200 AI. So, it can do scene detections quickly. It can enhance the resolution, increase the sharpness, boost the colors on certain apps on YouTube and MX Player. And that is what I've seen as well. And the Poco F3 GT, again, it has the same processor, but of course, it does not have the AI enhancements there. But when you look at the Poco F3 GT, it kind of looks like a gaming device. Like it's pretty much designed to be like a gaming device. That also gets stereo speakers. You get 67 watt fast charging on the Poco F3 GT, a bigger 5065 milliamp hour battery. So in terms of specifications, these two are very close. Like the same SoC, RAM and storage combinations are somewhat similar. In terms of cameras, you get triple camera setups on both. The Nord 2 has a 50 megapixel primary. The Poco F3 GT gets a 64 megapixel primary, 8 megapixel ultra wide on both. With the OnePlus, you get a 2 megapixel mono camera, like a black and white lens. And whereas with the F3 GT, you get a 2 megapixel macro. So I would say both of these are not really contributing much, but yeah, apart from that, that is what makes, this comparison interesting, because, two smartphones in the exact same range with quite some similar specifications. But I would also mention that the Poco F3 GT has a metal frame, which kind of gives it that premium look and also feel in the hand.
Does that also change like wireless charging capability? No.
No, so it's got, I don't think it has wireless charging, but it's got a glass back, so you can still use, if you have a glass back, wireless charging is a possibility. If a metal back probably does not let you do wireless charging.
Right.
So overall, these are evenly matched.
Right. So then from the time you spent with the device now, what have you observed in terms of where does it sort of land in terms of the departments or the price range of what you expect from these phones?
See, first of all, when you think of a OnePlus smartphone, performance, I think, is something that everyone would rate. They would want a OnePlus smartphone to have performance. And that is what they have been promising and delivering with their other devices. And so that was my expectation with the Nord 2 5G, and it kind of delivers good performance there. Cameras are honestly good. So, especially low light camera performance, these guys have worked on something, I think they call it Nightscape Ultra. So it takes slightly longer to take a shot, but the results are very good. Battery lasts, you're going to be able to go beyond a day day and a half, depending on how you're using it. The battery life is good, and of course the charging, like when you can go from 0 to 100% in 30 minutes.
Yeah, you don't have to even worry that much about battery life, because exactly. You always know you're just half an hour away from getting a full charge.
So you know, you can plug it in 15 minutes, you're easily at 50%, and I think you should be able to go for 7-8 hours easily, depending on what you're going to be doing with the device. But if you can give it an hour, of course, half an hour, 100% charge is possible. So I think for the OnePlus Nord 2, that is where it is. You know, the camera is a strong point, battery, processing. So it does all the three things that, you know, you would expect a OnePlus smartphone to do. And again, clean UI, clean software. It does have Netflix pre-installed, other than I would say one OnePlus app and Google apps. That, you know, Google apps are quite common, but other than that, it only has Netflix and OnePlus. I think it's got one OnePlus app, I think Community, if I'm not wrong, and the data transfer app. But other than that, the UI is clean. There's no spammy notifications that I noticed. Overall, very clean. So I think for someone, and plus OnePlus also, I think, offers 2 years of software updates and 3 years of security updates, which kind of make it future proof, right? Like, you don't have a lot of smartphones in the 20,000 to 30,000 rupee price range that kind of offer, you know, software support, other than the OnePlus Nord C, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I mean, I think so far, not a lot of, I mean, if you don't count, like, let's say Motorola, maybe Nokia, but then most of their phones are under 20,000. But yeah, in this price range, we don't have a lot of, I mean, we have a lot of phones, but not a lot of companies promise these kind of updates. So it's kind of nice to see that.
Right. So I want to dive into the performance thing a bit more, because you said the performance is really good, but this has come from a change, right? This is, if I'm not wrong, the first OnePlus phone to ditch Qualcomm for MediaTek. So is that the reason they're doing that? Because they could do more with the Dimensity 1200 or whatever?
So I, you know, honestly, when I saw the launch and it was, you know, they said that the Nord 2 was powered by the MediaTek Dimensity 1200, it was a little surprising, because I don't recollect a single OnePlus smartphone before this using a MediaTek processor in India, at least. Right. So the switch to, and earlier it was also, you know, like people had this idea that MediaTek processors are slow and Snapdragon is fast. So, you know, that is something that was also playing probably for the manufacturers as well earlier. But now, you know, I think MediaTek has pretty much, it's caught up with Snapdragon when it comes to the processing power, because in the budget segment, we have got excellent processors like the Helio G90T, it's a gaming processor, even the Helio G80. So I think OnePlus probably switched, like they haven't disclosed the reason for switching from, say, Snapdragon to a MediaTek. But given that OnePlus has worked with MediaTek in enhancing the processor, I think they probably wanted, you know, that was one of the main reasons for them to go after it and put it in their OnePlus smartphone. But compared to, so I'm yet to compare it to, say, a Qualcomm Snapdragon. Would 870 be a fair comparison, Royden, or probably something lower?
You meant Dimensity versus the 870, right?
870, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, because if you look at the MediaTek launches, I mean, we've not compared the scores exactly, but most, even their highest end SoCs that they've launched so far haven't really come close or matched up to, you know, Qualcomm's top end, like the 888 or maybe even the 865 before that. So I think, the 1200 should be along the lines of the 870, maybe slightly faster, but I don't think it's going to be as fast as the 888.
It's not going to be a flagship grade, I don't think.
But
so,
I think that's fine, right? I mean, if you look at the price point and what these phones are selling at, you are getting 870 level or maybe close to 870 level performance at around 10,000, 15,000 lesser. So I think that's a fairly good compromise. And it's not like you have Android apps that really push the boundaries of any of the high-end SoCs that we have on Android phones today anyways. So, you know, that I think 1200 should have a good lifespan as well, even if you're like into gaming and, you know, it's, yeah. I think it'll be, it will take a few years before it will start to maybe bog down on, and that too, I don't think it will be due to the kind of app, but mainly due to, I think, guess just the OS updates, and you know, it depends on how well they do that as well. Because if we've known in the past OnePlus updates to sort of, you know, slow down or you know, bog down older OnePlus phones. So I don't think the SoC is going to be an issue more than the updates trying, maybe trying to, you know, cripple the phone, maybe forcing you to buy a newer phone or whatever.
All right. So I think the other thing I want to touch upon was that because of this sort of change from Qualcomm to MediaTek, does that sort of mean that we can expect, I mean, this is pure speculation territory at this point, that OnePlus might look at MediaTek even for its, you know, more premium devices going forward?
So like Royden said, I think it is a possibility, but they'll have to find a processor that is, you know, that scores as high as the Qualcomm's, like the 888. So as and when they have it, I don't see them, you know, not going for it. So that's not...
Does MediaTek have those set of chips right now in the market? No.
Yeah, I don't think they have something that can directly compete with like a top-end Qualcomm chip. So, you know, even if they want to use a MediaTek chip in their premium phones, I don't know if it'll make sense, because, you know, those just won't be as powerful as what other manufacturers will offer with Qualcomm chips.
Right. And is this anyway like attached to what of the, what's happening with their sort of reorganization with Oppo? Like, is Oppo sort of known more for MediaTek chips, or am I just connecting dots which don't exist?
Well, I would say that this, like, of course, there's a lot of part sharing, I guess. And when you look at even the Realme X7 Max, I think that Ryan was talking about, that has the Dimensity 1200 processor, the exact same processor that we're talking about. So there will be part sharing, there will be, and these companies benefit from it, right? Like, it's basically economies of scale. So they're going to get as many chips as possible and split them across in multiple different models. So that kind of works. Now, for OnePlus using the exact same hardware, I don't know. Like, even in terms of the design, there are a few elements that, you know, like, from a couple of years, we've been seeing that OnePlus smartphones are kind of based on or kind of look very similar to other Oppo devices. So I think that's not going to change either. And now with Oxygen OS, you know, them saying that it's going to be based on Color OS, it's going to, I just hope that Oxygen OS does not become a skin of Color OS.
Yeah, I think you sort of, you've expressed these fears before on this podcast as well.
Yeah. So that is something that, you know, I don't want to happen.
But we've already, I think we're already starting to see the sort of, you know, effects of the announcement. Because if you look at the new Oppo Reno 6 Pro and the 6 that was launched a month ago, a few weeks ago maybe, this has the latest Color OS 11.3. And over here, there are some, you know, changes or additions which have been directly taken from Oxygen OS. So for instance, Oppo used to have this, they've always had this always on display feature where you can, you know, add a clock or a slogan or text or whatever. But they've also introduced in the new version that I've noticed is that there's something called, I mean, they call it something else. It's called Silhouette something, but it's basically the canvas AOD feature that we first saw debut on a recent, I think it was on the, I'm not sure if it was last year which it debuted, but basically on Oxygen OS on the recent OnePlus phones, it's basically where you can use your photo and then it'll use AI to sort of scan the photo and just create a silhouette or an outline of your face. And you can use that outline as your always on display image.
Yeah.
So this was a feature that was first, we first saw it on OnePlus phones.
This exact feature is there on the OnePlus Nord 2 as well. So...
Yeah, and even if you look at the settings in Color OS, you know, that the image to select it, I mean, that icon, it's the exact same icon that's there on OnePlus phone. So that's how we know that it is basically the same canvas AOD feature. And another thing which they have changed, and which this is like immediately noticeable, is if Color OS used to have something called Game Space. And basically where you can, you know, have all your games in one location and... you know, turn on other things like basically do not disturb or you know, disable the auto brightness when you launch a game and stuff like that.
Sort of like a game mode, basically, yeah.
Like a game mode, essentially a game mode. But if you look at the new app in the latest version of ColorOS, at least in these two phones, the Reno 6 series, it's basically the games app from OnePlus, including the icon. It's the exact same app, the design, the features, everything is exactly the same. It's called Games and it even looks identical to the one on OxygenOS. So, you know, we're starting to see some features and apps from OxygenOS bleed into ColorOS. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, tomorrow in a future OxygenOS update, we might see, you know, rebranded ColorOS apps in OxygenOS as well. So that's a very, very high possibility.
Well, it's already here. So,
is it?
You know, yeah, yeah. So the first thing I noticed is the camera app. The camera app is identical. Yeah. So the camera app is identical to Realme's.
basically, it's the ColorOS camera app, essentially.
Yeah. And then even when you go into the settings app, so it has been reorganized. So the options that you get there are identical to what you get on, say, ColorOS, for example. So if I were to, say, compare the OnePlus Nord CE, which I think is still launched before the, you know,
the official announcement.
Yeah, so you know, it has options like Wi-Fi network, Bluetooth, and stuff. Whereas on the new one, it has SIM cards and mobile data as the first option, with separate options for Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and it's identical to Realme's OS. So,
that's a real shame because I'm like ColorOS doesn't have the best settings app, and even the camera app, like OxygenOS, was so much better. Like I don't know why they would do that.
But yeah, but this is how like mergers work, right? Like,
yeah, but anyways, OnePlus was, I mean, okay, on paper, they were part of Oppo, right? I mean, it's just that it wasn't official or like they were technically part of Oppo anyways.
Right, but I think what's happening now is that it's like they're almost trying to eliminate redundancies, right? Like if you have two different teams working on two different camera apps, now I think stuff like that, they're trying to sort of take away. They're like, okay, let's just have one camera team.
Okay, but then why not use the better camera app then, rather than...
Why not?
I mean, like, you know, I don't like the fact that they're, like, changing their identity completely. Like, it's okay if it's merged and by all means share features and, you know, whatever. But you don't have to, like, you know, completely change the identity and the, you know, like, the core essence of what made people fans of the company.
Yeah.
They're sort of slowly chipping away at that, and that is not a good, I mean, I don't think it's going to end well.
Yeah, I kind of agree here, but you know, like the changes are so subtle, like they've not like they've changed the order,
right?
But when you look at it, it's still the exact same color and elements, like, you know, the icons are still from OxygenOS. So it's not something that you'll immediately notice that, okay, this is completely different. And I honestly even missed out on it. I was like, okay, this just looks like OxygenOS. And then after checking it with the Nord CE side by side, that is when you notice that, you know, okay, a couple of things are moved around. And the OnePlus Oppo, you know, kind of relation has been there for a really long time. Like if you have an old OnePlus smartphone as well, just flip over the box and it mentions made by Oppo in India.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, that way it's been there, and it's just that now having three different UIs and, you know, software is a major issue for majority of these manufacturers because, you know, you're done with hardware. You buy the hardware, you manufacture it, you sell it off, you get your money back. But software is something that, you know, you have to constantly upgrade so that your customers are happy. And the issue here was that Oppo had ColorOS, they had Realme UI, and they had OxygenOS to deal with, like three different UIs, three distinct UIs. So you have probably three teams, and this might just be a cost-cutting exercise at BBK Electronics.
Streamline
the process. And like Royden said, as long as they don't go way far back the other way, like it should still look and feel like an OxygenOS smartphone for it to be a OnePlus device. Like I think the software was pretty much the main reason why people bought OnePlus devices and not the
killer
specs. Yeah. So I think that is something that needs to be retained.
Yeah, otherwise, Shenoy's nightmare will come day. One day, and you open like either a Realme or like a, you know, Oppo, like a OnePlus phone, and then on startup, it asks you, do you want Oppo or do you want OnePlus?
That
and then the entire
great.
Phone
like,
changes.
Good morning. Good morning. What do you want to use? Realme UI?
Like, aaj kya man hai tumhara? Aaj kaun sa mood hai?
Yeah.
Are you Oppo fan today? Yeah. Are you OnePlus fan today? Right. So I think what I want to end with then is now OnePlus is like phone sort of like department just like keeps on growing. So now we have Nord C, Nord 2, 9R, 9 Pro. Am I missing anything?
No, I think that's all of them.
Right.
And so the 8 Pro is also still on sale. But yeah, and the new in terms of the new ones, yeah, this is it.
So somewhere 8 Pro in there as well. So this is like keeps on growing. It's almost like when Apple used to have just the iPhone and now iPhone are like, I don't know, what is like 7 iPhone or something like that. So who should sort of land Shenoy on OnePlus Nord 2 and where should they be looking if they're willing to sort of, I mean, if they're willing to move a little more, what are they getting for their money?
So in terms of the Nord C, I think for someone who needs a good all-rounder with a clean UI, see, basically when you look at the 30,000 rupee price range, a lot of these manufacturers aim at performance and you know, you only get good performance, but cameras are not all that great. You don't really get good battery life, or, you know, fast charging is missing sometimes. Like, you get big batteries, but you don't get fast charging. So the OnePlus Nord, I think Nord 2 is a very good smartphone in that aspect, wherein you get good battery life, fast charging, good performance, you know, good cameras as well. So it's a good all rounder for someone who's willing to pay that price for it. So that is where it is. If you want to, if you want something extra, then I think the closest Nord, the closest OnePlus smartphone would be the OnePlus 9R, which I think is compared to the base variant, it's 15,000 rupee more expensive and 6,000 rupees more expensive than the top of the line OnePlus Nord 2. So, and honestly, I have a few doubts about how many units of the base OnePlus Nord 2 will be available, because remember, Arden, with the Nord, original Nord, entry, the base variant only had, like, it was available for a really short time.
Yeah, absolutely. They had marketed it as an Amazon exclusive phone, and it actually went on sale later. And again, it was only for a limited time. And it was kind of hard to get, because for most of the time when I actually went to check, it was always, you know, out of stock or something. And then they finally discontinued it. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, if you want the base variant, you might as well pick it up now, because there's no guarantee.
Yeah,
on
this is
how.
Like a way of like getting headlines of like, for one, start at this price, but then never sell at that price.
Exactly. Like, starts at this price. Yeah. But then with the caveat that, you know, it is probably available in limited quantities. Yeah. And only on Amazon. And there's no telling if all of them are going to go on sale at the same time, because that they did that with the Nord as well. The cheapest one went on sale much later.
So never settle for the flagships and never sell for the base variants.
Basically, that's a good one.
So that is what, you know, you'll have to. Yeah, that's the only options there.
Right. So what do you get with the 9? Or if you do pay depending 15K or 6K, depending on the variant land in, what do you get for those sort of money extra?
So you get a slightly more powerful processor. I think the camera
build quality is better.
Then in terms of the cameras, I think it's the same 50 megapixel primary camera, but the processing might be different, because, you know, here you have the MediaTek processor that is it has its own ISP and it's running that, but with the Nord, with the OnePlus 9R, the image quality might be a little different. Apart from that, see, battery capacity and all is identical, so you're basically paying for more performance and probably slightly better camera performance. That's it.
But it's not a whole lot. I mean, if you think about it, that's a good question. Like, you know, how much more are you actually getting if you do put in that extra premium for the 9R? And it's not a whole lot. Unless you're really into like some competitive gaming, or you're playing like Genshin Impact or some, you know, obscure game which is a resource hog, you probably won't notice. I mean, the extra horsepower given by that Snapdragon 870 is probably not going to be utilized. So you're not really going to notice it. I really don't see, you know, people really noticing a difference between the Dimensity 1200 and the 870 in like everyday apps.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you're not into gaming, though, you probably won't notice it. I mean, yeah, it's got us. I think the 9R is 120 hertz refresh rate, if I'm not mistaken, and this is 90. But then again, it's not a big difference. I don't think you're going to... It's not a night and day difference between 90 and 120. It's definitely not like going from 60 to 90 or 60 to 120. So...
Yeah, and for basic use, you won't really know the difference.
Right? You probably won't know the difference. So I think the Nord 2 is like a really, really solid value offering.
And even in terms of like lasting long, I'm sure like both phones will get the same number of like Android updates and so like security updates, right? For the same number of years.
It should, ideally, pretty yeah. Much.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm not sure about 5G bands either, because I think the 9R, like the 9 and the 9 Pro, they at least I know for a fact support only two 5G bands.
Hmm.
But I'm not sure about the Nord 2, how many 5G bands it supports. So I think being a flagship SoC, it could be more than two. And if it is, then, you know, it's great for the user itself.
At this point, I think we don't even know what bands are supported here.
That is also
yeah, so that's the, it's like, that's the bigger question, actually. Yeah.
So, yeah, so that could just be... pointless, but yeah, so
essentially the Nord 2 is a 9R killer
basically.
Yeah,
it's that's basically that. What the original Nord was, if you think about right. It when they launched the OnePlus 8, and the 8 was anyways a dud because, you know, it didn't get any of the good features that the 8 Pro had.
Hmm.
And then they launched the Nord, which was 95% of the features of the OnePlus 8, but at like, you know, maybe 60% of the price. So there was absolutely like the need for to have that OnePlus 8 was like, you know, even more obsolete. So I think it's a similar situation they found themselves in. Like the Nord 2 is like a super feature packed phone at a very aggressive price. And if you in comparison, like the 9R, which was the most, you know, the really good value offering when the 9 series launched, suddenly doesn't really look that appealing anymore.
Yeah, so basically you can call the OnePlus 9R the flagship killer and the OnePlus Nord 2 the flagship killer.
Yeah.
Because the 9R looked like, you know, a bargain compared to the OnePlus 9 and the 9 Pro.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And, you know, the Nord now makes the 9R look expensive.
How many months have passed between these two phones? Like 2-3 maximum?
A few months in. I mean, it wasn't, yeah, I think, yeah, not too long.
Yeah, 4 months max, I'm guessing.
Cannibalizing their own phones in a quarter.
Pretty much.
I think that is how OnePlus started with their T smartphone, like 6 months
yeah.
And a new phone. So yeah, I think they're used to it by now.
All right, then I guess that does it. Thank you so much, Troyden and Shenoy, for joining us and talking to us about all things OnePlus Nord 2.
Thank you.
All right, that's all for this episode. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. You can write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. And we will see you with a new episode next week.